And then when they're drawing their boats up after a long night of fishing, what we see is Jesus enters the scene. And Jesus is this young and this powerful rabbi who's been teaching, and he's been performing great miracles, and he's been leading great crowds of people for almost a year now. And then Jesus comes down and he begins to teach. And we see this teaching in Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to just read for us from verses 1 to 3. And you can see it on the screen as well. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that is Simon Peter, and asked him to put a little away from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now, it doesn't say this in scripture specifically, but I think that day Jesus went specifically there to find Peter. I want to talk a little bit why I say that. Almost a year before the time of this passage in Luke chapter 5 is when Jesus began his ministry. A year before this passage. And we know that Jesus went into the wilderness. Jesus was tempted by the evil one. He was tempted by Satan. And he came back and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, you'll remember, had a couple of disciples. One of the disciples was Andrew, the brother of Simon. And the other disciple was John, who was one of the partners in Peter's fishing business. And John the Baptist, he told Andrew and John on one afternoon when he saw Jesus passing by the way, he said to them this statement. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And then John the Baptist gave them a specific mentioning. He said to them, "You should follow him now." Right? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You should follow him now." And so we have Andrew and John. They understand who Jesus is, and they actually go to meet Jesus. And then what we see is that Andrew, from that meeting with Jesus, then he then goes home, and then he goes and he talks to his big brother Simon, and he says to his big brother, "There's someone that you have to meet. There's someone I've met who's like no one else that I've ever met. There's someone that you have to meet." And so Andrew took Simon to meet Jesus. And we read about this encounter in John chapter 1. We're not going to go there right now. But if you'd like to read it on your own time, you can go there. Andrew and Simon, after their discussion, Jesus meets Simon Peter. And in this discussion, Jesus says to Simon Peter, he says, "You are called Simon, but you shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter or Petros, which otherwise means rock or stone. So we know that almost sometime before this occurrence in Luke chapter 5, we know that Jesus has met Peter. We know that he's had a discussion with Peter, even so that he's named Peter, renamed him as Peter, right? Now, in addition to that, we read that the disciples were also invited to a wedding, and that's the wedding at Cana. And now, in all truth, it doesn't say in John chapter 2 that specifically that Simon Peter was at that celebration. It never says that specifically. The passage just says generally that Jesus and his disciples were at the wedding. But let's just take the assumption that Peter was at this wedding. If Peter was at this wedding, what would he have seen that day? He would have seen a great wedding celebration. He would have seen that the attendees of the wedding, they drank the wine and they needed more wine. And he would have seen that Jesus made wine, not from just anything, not from more wine, but Jesus makes wine from water. And it was a great miracle. And it says in John chapter 2, and you can see this, hopefully it's a little small, but you can see this in John chapter 2, it says that the disciples were with him that day, saw this miracle, and specifically it says that they believed. Right? And it's very possible that Peter was one of those disciples that was there that day. And so all this to hit home the point, before Luke chapter 5 even happens, before that instance in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus and Peter are there by the shores of Galilee, we see that Peter has met Jesus. that Peter knows that there is this evidence that's mounting that Jesus actually is the Messiah. Now, sometime later, we actually read of another invitation. We see this in two sections of the Bible. We see this in Mark chapter 1, and we also see it in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus goes down by the lake of Gennesaret or Galilee, and he sees Peter and Andrew, and he sees James and John, and he says to them, "Come follow me." Another invitation. Up to three occurrences that we've seen now in Scripture. Before Luke chapter 5, where we see Jesus is going to Peter, and Jesus is calling Peter to come to him. So it's not a new occurrence when we get to Luke chapter 5. This is not Peter seeing Jesus for the first time. He's seen Jesus. He knows who Jesus is. He likely would have seen miracles. Right? He's had conversations with Jesus. So this is not a new occurrence. Then we come to Luke chapter 5. This is the passage that we're at today. And Jesus comes yet again to Peter. And he asks Peter to follow him. And I want us to realize that Jesus coming to Peter was not random. It was not unplanned. I think Jesus came there that day because he realized that even though who Peter knew that he was, Peter wasn't yet willing to drop the other things in his life. Peter was not willing to take the priorities that were in his life that were important to him and push them to the side. Peter was not ready to truly follow Jesus. So in many ways, we can say that Peter was stuck. He was really stuck there in his following of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'll just speak for myself. This is sometimes the problem that I have, being stuck, right? Sometimes there is a disconnect in our Christian lives because believing Jesus is one thing. Placing our faith in Jesus is one thing. But truly following Jesus is a whole other thing. Making Jesus our Lord, making Jesus our highest priority, living and loving and serving as Jesus did, that's a whole different thing. And I think Peter, when we look at them at this at his stage of his life, Peter was sort of stuck. And he wasn't willing to take that decision to prioritize Jesus in his life. And he wasn't willing to step out and to follow Jesus. He was sort of stuck, right? And I think if we honestly are to look at our lives, sometimes we might see that as well. Because the truth is that oftentimes, and again, I'll speak for myself here, not speaking for anyone else in the group. Oftentimes, I prefer Jesus to be a consultant in my life. I prefer to use Jesus when I need him, rather than understanding that he's the Lord of my life and that he's the King of my life. And I would assume in a room this size with as many people in this room with careers and with kids and with our own plans and our own agendas, I would assume that many of us in this room struggle with the same thing. And so a question of application for us, if you guys would help me progress that. Just a question of application for us. Is it possible that, like Peter, that we have believed in Jesus, that we're born again, that we placed our faith in him as the Redeemer from our sins, but then when after our meetings are over and after we leave settings like this, that we go right back to our lives and that we're really investing in our fishing business, just like Peter was, right? That's really our priority. That's really what we're focusing on. We want to build up our fishing business. We want to build up what we have. And then as a result, that's causing us to only partially follow Jesus. Is that possible? That's what's in our life. I think Jesus knew the state that Peter was in. Peter was stuck. He was stuck in a place where he couldn't go backwards. He couldn't go forwards. The priorities in his life were really like entwining the person that he was. And so that day, Jesus, I think, came, yes, to speak to the masses, yes, to teach the masses, but I also think that Jesus came that day to prod Peter along. So in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is ministering to the people. He's there by the Sea of Galilee, and the Lamb of God, he's teaching them the Word of God. He's telling them who he is. He's telling them why he's come. He's teaching them about the kingdom of God. And we see that in that portion of Luke chapter 5, the people are responding. They're coming in such great numbers that they're pressing in upon him and they're crowding in upon him. So Jesus looks over to his side and within earshot, he sees Peter. And he probably sees Andrew's brother and the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he sees them with their boats and they're washing their nets because they've been fishing all night long. And Jesus goes to Peter, not just any boat, because during that time of the day, during the morning or the daylight, there would have been many boats in the sea at the time doing the same thing that they were doing. And so Jesus goes specifically to Peter's boat and he asks Peter specifically to take him out so that he can be, so that he can preach without being pressed by the crowds. And we read in the portion that it's in the hearing of Peter that it says that Jesus spoke the word of God to the people, speaking yes to the people, but also speaking specifically to Peter. So let's keep moving. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 7. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 7, I'll read it. It says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.'" So what is Jesus saying to Peter? What's Jesus trying to get across to Peter? He's saying, time to push out into the deep water, Peter. It's time for you to get past these shores. Time for you to get past what's comfortable. Time to push out into the deep water, Peter. So it's important for us to understand what deep water is, right? I gave you my instance in my personal confession earlier today about Shelha, right? I'll tell you about deep water to a person who doesn't swim, right? Deep water is scary. It's fearful because there is no guardrail. There is no concrete underneath the hold, right? When I first got in the water in Shelha, the reason I directly got out is because as soon as I got in the water, I realized there was nothing to my left, there was nothing to my right, there was nothing underneath, and the water was to here, right? And I realized I couldn't do it. It was fearful, right? In deep water, light cannot penetrate. In deep water, there is no reassurance of land. That's what it felt like for Peter when he was contemplating moving forward and following God. It felt like he was having to push out into the deep. I mean, I'm sure Peter was saying things to himself as in, I'm just a fisherman, right? I'm just a fisherman. Why don't you choose a Bible professor? Why don't you choose a preacher? Why don't you choose a missionary? Why don't you choose someone that's educated? Even though he might have been thinking those things in his head, Jesus was still calling Peter, and he was telling Peter, Peter, you need to push out into the deep. Jesus is saying, Peter, yes, Peter, I want you to serve me. We've talked about it. Peter was a fisherman. He knew fishing. Fishing was his life. It was his career. It's what he understood. So it's interesting that when Jesus comes to Peter, Jesus doesn't give a sermon to Peter. Jesus comes right into the middle of Peter's context. He comes right into the context of fishing, into his boat, into what he's doing. And he says to him, Peter, I want you to do what I know you know how to do, and that's to catch. No, I don't want you to catch fish. I want you to catch men and women, and I want you to bring them back to me. But Peter, I'm not telling you to do something that you're not unaware of. I'm coming in the context of what you do, into your boat, into your business, and telling you I want you to do the same thing. So Peter, push out into the deep and serve me. So this was Jesus' mindset. This is what Jesus was thinking as he was stepping into that boat. But what was Peter thinking? And I think it's important for us to think about what was Peter thinking, because this is often what we think, right? And to think and to walk through what Peter was thinking, let's go to verse 5 again. It says, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. So what's Peter thinking? What's going through Peter's mind? Peter's saying, Jesus, we're tired. We're weak. He's saying, we're trained fishermen and we didn't catch anything all night long. Could be that one of the things that Peter was dreading was putting those nets back into the water, because these aren't just small nets. You know, none of us are fishermen, but these aren't small nets. These are huge nets. And it probably would have taken a long time for four men to clean these nets. And we see that when Jesus comes to the area, they're actually cleaning the nets, maybe done with cleaning the nets. And having cleaned them already, if they went back out into the water, Peter knows they have to clean those nets again. And Peter, he was beat down and he was tired and he was just not ready to do that. Do you hear Peter's questioning tone in these verses? Peter calls Jesus master, which means that he recognizes Jesus' authority, but I want us to notice the questioning tone of Peter. He's saying to Jesus, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. Peter was the expert in fishing, right? Peter was probably thinking in his mind, you don't go and fish in the body of water when it's daytime. You don't fish during daytime, you're not going to catch anything during daytime. Peter's probably thinking, as the expert he is, you fish at night when it's cool and when the fish are out to come bite, right? Peter's probably thinking in his mind, you don't fish out into the deep. That's not where you fish, especially at this time of day. He's probably thinking in his mind, you try to fish at the shores where the fish during this time of day are going to come in and they're going to feed on the shores. That's what Peter's thinking, right? He's saying, we've done this all night. You're getting this all wrong, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a great teacher, but you don't know what you're talking about. That's what Peter's thinking in his heart. Peter calls Jesus master, but what's really going on in Peter's heart? I think in Peter's heart, he's saying this, Lord, if you say so, I'll do it, but it's not my idea. And it's not how I would do it. And I don't think you know what you're thinking. I don't know if you know what you're saying, Jesus, but because you say it, I'll do it. Let's go to verse 6 and 7. 6 and 7 of Luke chapter 5, it says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners on the boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And not just one boat, but two boats so full with fish that the boats are beginning to sink. And for those who understand sort of the science of it, in order for a boat in that body of water to begin to sink, it would have to have been a huge amount of fish. I wonder if Peter was starting to understand now, as things were happening and as he was seeing the things happen around him and as he was seeing all these fish, I wonder if Peter was starting to understand now the significance of some of the statements that were happening between him and Jesus on that day. When Jesus says to Peter, all right, Peter, let's put out into the deep. What is Jesus really saying to Peter? He's saying, Peter, you've been running away from me for full commitment. You've been running from commitment for quite a while now. I called you to follow me. Here you are cleaning your fishing nets. I've met you before. You know who I am. You've seen what I've done. But you're not willing to commit, Peter. Let's put out into the deep. And I wonder if Peter understood the words that even came out of his own mouth when he said to Jesus these words. He said, Master, we've been fishing all night, but at your word, I will let down the nets. That if Jesus was able to complete a miracle and he saw all these fish, that means that Jesus was the Messiah. And if Jesus was the Messiah, then that means that he was part of the Trinity, and he is the creator of all things. And in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and by all things were created. And maybe in Peter's mind, his thoughts were coming in, this is the one who holds all things by his power. This is the one by whom all kingdoms will rise and fall. these must have been the thoughts that were filling Peter's mind as he remembered that he had said to Jesus, "At your word, I will let down the nets." Are we surprised then at Jesus' word that even though that they were at the wrong time of the day, even though they might have been at the wrong location of that shore, are we surprised then at Jesus' word that these two boats were filled? Verses 8 through 10, it says, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners." As I was looking for pictures to put in the presentation last night, sometimes I'm really amazed at how scriptural some of these pictures are, right? Because if you look at Peter in that picture, like, you can align the stance of Peter in that picture with these verses. It's really amazing sometimes when you think about it, right? Because Peter falls at Jesus' knees when he sees those fish jump into the nets. Not because he's impressed at Jesus' fishing technique, not because he's impressed by anything specifically Jesus has said, but because he's reminded now of who Jesus is. It's at great irony that we think about it, that coming into this, Peter was most interested in his fishing business. He was most interested in what he knew as a fisherman. But what we see now is we have two boats of fish, two full boats of fish. Notice that what we see in the scripture portion and what's aligned in that picture is that Peter is not even looking at the fish anymore. He doesn't care about the fish anymore. But he's actually only looking at Jesus. He's looking at Jesus as Lord. And notice how Peter responds when he sees the fish. He falls at Jesus' feet, and what's the actual term that he uses? He says, "Lord." And before he said, "Master." And we talked about how before, even though he said "Master," his actions didn't align with the actual term "Master." But now he calls Jesus Lord. And I want us to think, is there a point of application there for us? Maybe that we also need to be reminded who Jesus truly is, that he's not just our spiritual consultant, but that he is Lord and he is King. He's the creator of all things. He's the pre-existent one. He is the King of the universe. And seeing all the fish just simultaneously jump into this net at Jesus' word, this is what Peter concludes. And how does Peter respond? Peter says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I have said no to your invitations. I've made my own life. I've made my own priorities. I've ignored the Lord." I know some people here don't like the Message version, and I'll admit I don't like the Message version as well. But forgive me, because I do want to read a translation from the Message version in this verse, because I do think it terms it appropriately. It says, "Master, leave me. I am a sinner, and I can't handle this holiness. Just leave me to myself. I can't handle this holiness. Just leave me to myself." I think this is what's happening to Peter here. He's encountering the holiness of God, and because he sees his own sinfulness, he's falling before Jesus, and he's acknowledging he's powerless. And I wonder if we truly had an understanding of who Jesus was, if our lives would look more like that. Because oftentimes we live our lives thinking, we can do it, we can make it, it will happen. If I just work harder, it'll happen. I'm happy to have Jesus as my consultant, but I can do this. But what we see here is Peter goes to his knees when he recognizes that he's powerless, that he can do nothing. And it's interesting that sometimes we go out onto the sea and we fish all night long and we think we know what we're doing. We think we're the experts, but Jesus can go out at the wrong time of day. Jesus can go at the wrong location. And yet what we see is boats full of fish. He is the one that has the power, and we are dependent on him. I'll just end with a quote, and this quote is from C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity. It's a long quote, and it's a quote that was shared with me once, and I'll read it. It says this. It's a hard expectation. I'll say that before I read it. But it says this. Christ says, "Give me all. I don't want much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I've not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it. I don't, or stop it, or to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think are innocent, as well as the ones that you think are wicked, the whole outfit. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own shall be yours." This is a hard expectation. This is a hard teaching. But it doesn't change that that's still the expectation. Jesus ends the conversation in verses 10 and 11. And he says, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up onto the shore and left everything, and they followed him." Scripture says that they pulled their boats to the shore, and they left everything, and they followed him. It's a wonderful end to this account, isn't it? It took this great catch of fish for Peter to realize who Jesus was. But we do have to recognize that as soon as Peter recognized who Jesus was, he turns away from these boats full of fish, and he follows after Jesus. And I think this is a good reminder for us, again, as pilgrims, we have to progress. I think after the retreat, that's the one thing that I kept reminding in my mind. Pilgrims, we have to progress. As pilgrims, we have to progress. But sometimes, as pilgrims, we have to be prodded. And I think God's scripture, God's word is a good thing to prod us along sometimes about. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that oftentimes your word is a light in which we can see our failings and our shortcomings. But Father, we also thank you that your word is such that oftentimes that we see your power and your grace and your mercy within it as well. Father, we thank you for this word that you've given to us. Father, we do pray in the coming days that you would enlighten us more how to appropriately surrender unto you. That truly seeing who you are as Peter did on that boat that day. And Father, as a result, we would turn from our ways, that we would turn from our selfishness, that we would turn from our self-prioritization, Father, and that understanding who you are, we would more appropriately follow you. Help us, Father, we ask that you'd be gentle with us. Father, we pray that you would teach us, that you would be gracious and merciful to us. But Father, we do pray that as a body of believers, Father, we would be more useful for you in the coming days. Help us, we do pray. It's in our Lord and Savior's name we pray.